welcome to Intentional Inclusion with the Diversity Doctor, your weekly dose of diversity and inclusion content with me, your host, Dr. Donna Dehan. I want to help as many organisations as possible create people-centred businesses because I know that when your people thrive, so too does your bottom line. I'm here to help you move from professing an interest in D&I to implementing practices that will change the way you do business for the better. So, if you're looking to truly make an impact with your D&I efforts, you're in the right place, my friend. Every week, I will give you the perfect mix of theory and practice to help you create a business where everyone and your bottom line can thrive. Are you ready? Let's dive in. Hello, welcome back to another episode of Intentional Inclusion with me, Dr. Donna Dehan, aka the Diversity Doctor. I'm going to try and keep this one fairly short. And again, apologies if I break out into coughing during this podcast. I'm trying so hard to get over this cough, but I didn't want to wait any longer before recording another episode and sharing it with you. So please just bear with me. I might need to take a drink or I'll take a pause. But for now, whilst I can still breathe and I'm not coughing, I want to let you know that in this week's episode, I'm so excited to talk about inclusion safety. So you know I'm all about intentional inclusion and trying to make ways to help you as leaders or team members or colleagues to create intentional inclusion so that we can collectively create more diverse and inclusive cultures. And so I'm always looking at really practical ways. What can I do tomorrow? That's always kind of the takeaway that I'm thinking about. What can I do tomorrow that will make a difference? So this episode is going to focus on the first level of psychological safety, which is inclusion safety. I'm going to tell you all about what it is, why it's important, and how to create it. So the practical steps. What can I do tomorrow, Donna, to create an inclusively safe space for my colleagues? Okay, so it's a super practical episode and I can't wait to dive in. So let's start by looking at what is inclusion safety. Well, inclusion safety, as I said, is the first level of psychological safety. If we do not feel included, we are unable to get to the higher levels of psychological safety, such as learner safety, challenger safety. We can't get there. So we need this as the foundation. I will do a whole other episode on psychological safety. But for now, I just really wanted to start with the foundation, which is inclusion safety. So we want to feel safe to be ourselves. Now, there's a lot of discussion about, you know, being your authentic self. I'm not saying that you have to share every element of your being in the workplace. I think there is a time and place to share things. What I want to help organizations create, what I want to help you create, is an environment where team members feel it is a choice that they can make. Because if I am consciously hiding parts of me, second guessing myself, that's costing me energy, energy that I am not putting into my work, energy that I am not putting into problem solving or creativity or just doing my job, basically. So the idea is to mitigate wasted energy because I'm trying to protect myself because I don't feel like I'm included. So I want to help us create an inclusive space. It doesn't mean that everybody has to share everything, but it means that we don't have to choose to hide things. And I hope you understand the difference between the two. So inclusion safety is really, really important in terms of performance, in terms of innovation, in terms of creativity, problem solving, all of the good juicy stuff that we want within our teams. It's important, as I said, because it's the foundation of psychological safety. And Google ran this big project about what made teams within their organization successful. And the key variable that they found was teams that were psychologically safe were more successful, more creative, more innovative. And so they broke down that, oh, that seems to be an interesting variable that we can say that's what's making a difference between team A and team B. So we want to create the psychological safety. A big part of inclusion safety is understanding the difference between fitting in and belonging. So, fitting in is a barrier to belonging. Fitting in is a simulation. Rather than be myself, rather than put forward my solution to a problem, if I feel like I need to fit into this team, this organization, what's happening in this meeting, I am making those almost subconscious but energy-consuming decisions. Should I speak up right now? Should I put forward an alternative answer to that question? Should I mention that I can hear microaggressions in this meeting? Should I speak up and say that I don't think we're meeting compliance here? Or should I just fit in with what everybody else is saying? Fitting in is a simulation. It can affect the way we speak, the way we dress, the way we speak up or don't speak up. It can affect how we contribute to things. Fitting in kind of creates this homogenous, almost groupthink, like everybody else is doing it this way and therefore I must. Now, obviously, within an organization, we need to kind of sidetrack a little bit here and talk about the difference between cultural fit and cultural add. So within your organization, you will have your own culture, the way we do things around here. So meetings, for example, your meetings may be informal, your dress code may be informal, your language might be relaxed and chatty, and or it may be the other way. Your culture might be log in 9 to 5, very structured, everybody's at their desk. It's a very formal way of working, everybody wears kind of formal dress. It's very respectful, very hierarchical. Whatever it is, you'll know what your culture is. Culture is the way we do things around here. It's how we communicate. It's how I know that I am walking into your organization as opposed to this organization over there. If we do too much hiring for cultural fit, if we're always looking for the same square peg for the same square hole, you're going to fit in really well here. If we do too much of that, we create groupthink. We create sort of homogenous teams where everybody is working in the same way, everybody's thinking in the same way. And yes, that can be super efficient and effective, but too much, it's like anything, isn't it? Too much wine, too much chocolate, too much anything can be a bad thing because if we all think the same, where's the innovation coming from? If we all come from the same background, the same education, same career history, we have the same cultural backgrounds, etc. If we're too much alike, where does the diversity of thought come into play? So we want a mass of cultural fit because otherwise we're all going to be bouncing off and not being able to communicate and not being able to kind of ever get to the end of something. We want enough of a mass of cultural fit. But we also want cultural add so that we don't just have this kind of groupthink, homogenous teams. And fitting in and belonging kind of work in correlation with this. So too much cultural fit can lead to a fitting in culture. This kind of in or out, like we hire to fire. If you don't hit the ground running, if you're not like us, if you don't just seamlessly fit in with us, then you're not a fit. And often you hear people say, oh, you're too nice for this organization, or you're too this or too that. Anything that is too something, it means you're not fitting in enough. Okay. And we have to be mindful. Remember, this is all about intentional inclusion. We have to be very mindful about how much we want assimilation and fitting in, and how much we want diversity of thought. We want that little bit different, that little, the growth mindset, the courage to see things differently, to speak up about things differently. So we want this kind of enough of a fit, but also the add. The difference between fitting in and belonging, fitting in makes me feel like I have to assimilate to fit the norm. Everybody does it this way, so I need to do it this way. And I might be a natural fit, but there definitely is a difference between fitting in and belonging. Belonging means I don't second guess. I think that's the best way that I can describe the difference. And I want you to take a moment to just think about maybe different places that you've worked where, you've just automatically gelled with people and they've become lifelong friends and you've stayed in touch and you just, it's easy to talk. You didn't have to ever kind of worry about what am I going to wear? What am I going to say? It just flows. And that might be in a work situation. It might be in a sports team, in a friendship group. It's that kind of, oh, yeah, I can just breathe. I can just be me. I'm not worrying about, are they going to take it the wrong way? Are they going to misinterpret this? Are they going to twist it this way? Or maybe I shouldn't say anything right now. And because that person's the person that leads any group dynamic, you will have a moment where you felt the difference between fitting in and belonging. Maybe, I know personally, I never really felt like I belonged at school. High school, junior school, oh, I was just doing my best to fit in. I was trying to blend into the background. I didn't want to stand out. I was bullied for having red hair. I was picked on. I didn't have a best friend and a girlfriend. I used to hang out with the boys and talk about football. I just didn't find my group. So it was a constant effort to try and fit in somewhere. And if I'm being honest, what I mean by trying to fit in somewhere at high school meant trying to disappear, just wanted to be left alone. When I got to university, I found my people. I found my lifelong friends. I was able to, still needed to grow up. I still needed to stretch my wings. I still needed to become comfortable in my own skin. But that for me is a big difference between fitting in and belonging. I was able to be myself. I was learning who that was, but I found my tribe, my people, my group that enabled me to have that confidence to just be myself. Doesn't mean that we didn't have arguments. It doesn't mean that we didn't clash, but there really is a difference between fitting in and belonging. And I want you to take a moment as you're listening to this to try and just recall one moment in your life, whether it's at work or in social settings, where you felt the difference between fitting in and belonging. Because coming back to inclusion safety, we want to enable people to belong and not waste energy fitting in. Because if we belong, we thrive. And if we fit in, we're trying to survive. That's a big difference, right? Do you want colleagues to just try and survive the day, the week, the month? Or do you want them to thrive? I want your business to thrive. I want the individuals within your business to thrive. And therefore, we're going to focus on creating a belonging culture. Now, I said at the start that I would make this short and super practical. So I'm going to give you five simple ways that if you're a leader or even a colleague, things that we can do tomorrow to help create a belonging culture. These are things that you, if you start doing these things on a daily, if you start integrating them into your culture, the way you do things, I promise this will help nurture a belonging culture. Okay, so you ready? Let's dive in. Number one, do morning check-ins. As human beings, we are hardwired to connect, to belong. We're not good on our own. We need that sense of connection. And so run morning check-ins. Start each day with a check-in as to how the team is doing. Now, chances are you'll be somewhere on a scale of, oh my goodness, Donna, that sounds so fluffy and emotional and really uncomfortable. And we've never done anything like that. Like, it just sounds too woo-woo and uncomfortable. You could be there, or you could be anywhere between that. And of course, we always start every day with a check-in and, really connecting about how everybody's doing. Wherever you are, there is a way to do that check-in. So if it feels super comfortable, your check-in can be as personal as you feel comfortable doing it, right? It can be Monday morning, just checking in. How was everybody's weekend? What are you grateful for? What are you looking forward to this week? What's on your plate? Anything I can help you with this week? It's really that connection and that balance of, again, you don't have to bring all your personal life to the table at work, But you're opening up an opportunity that if something's weighing on you, it will affect your work life. It's not easy to just switch off and go into work mode. Again, that's fitting in. That's not being your whole self. So enabling people a chance to kind of explore that and talk about that a little way. If that feels uncomfortable, if that's like we're not there yet, Donna, start with a traffic light system. Start with red, amber, green. So I just want to start by checking in, and we're going to use a system red, amber, green. Red is I'm not doing great, and it doesn't matter whether it's personal or professional. You're just asking people to give you the color. Red is I'm not doing great. I'm overwhelmed. Things are, you know, I feel like I'm barely keeping my head above water. And I know that you'll have had that feeling at work at some point. Amber is, yeah, I'm okay. Okay, fine. Right? I know if I use fine too much, I'm not actually at red, but it's okay. It's not, you know, I'm not super energy. I've got a lot on my plate, but I can manage it and things will move forward. A green is, you know what? I'm well rested. I've got lots of energy. I'm super inspired and excited about the project I'm working on. I can't wait to dive in, right? So it's to do with your energy. It's to do with feelings. But if you can't articulate those in words, simply start with the traffic light system. As a leader, as somebody that's advocating for inclusivity, you have to show the vulnerability. That's super important for inclusive leadership. So start with yourself. I'm going to start and I'm going to say, I'm this color and this is why. And I'd love to know what color you are. And if you want to share why, that's great. And if you just want to leave it as a color, that's perfectly fine. I've done this with teams before. And what I love is at some point, it starts to get to the point where, you know what, I'm an amber. I'm feeling orange. I think I just need another coffee. And then I'll be fine. Okay, great. Anything I can do to help take you from amber to green? No, that's fine. I think I just need another coffee. I just didn't get as much sleep this morning. I just feel a bit slow to wake up this morning, but thanks for asking. Again, you're checking in, you're making that connection. Now, if somebody stays in amber every day that week, you might want to start to consider why. Because if I'm an amber all week, chances are I'm really on the edge of a red. So as a leader, I'm also just paying attention to that. Ask people, is there anything I can do to help tip you to a green? Ideally, different group members start to check in like this. So as a team, somebody's like, well, I'm a green. Can I take something off you, amber person or red person, and help? Can I contribute? Can I take that meeting for you? Is there anything I can do? I've got more energy this week. Okay, just in a way to engage and as a really good way to keep a track on where people are. So morning check-ins is a great way to start creating a sense of belonging. The second point, excuse me, is one-to-one conversations. Again, we're really looking for connection. So the group setting of the morning check-ins and using the color heat map, if you like, is one way of doing it as a team. You can follow this up with individual conversations and schedule regular ones with your team, not just at the point where as a leader, you need something from them or it's part of a performance review. Get into the habit of having coffee catch-ups and actively listening to individuals. Again, inclusion. A huge part of inclusion is active listening. So not listening with the intent to reply, but truly listening to understand what's going on for the other person. And again, how much of that is personal or professional or context, it doesn't matter. You're creating a culture that it's okay to talk about these things and to have these connection points because that's a sense of belonging, cultivates a sense of belonging. The third point is recognition and appreciation. Find times to actively and publicly show acknowledgement and appreciation of team members. You don't need to be the leader to do this. You can just simply say, thank you. You know, thanks for checking in on me this week. Or I just want to say a huge thank you to Simon because he picked up this for me this week because I felt like I couldn't quite get a grasp on it and on top of everything else. So I just want to take a moment to thank Simon for stepping in this week. I really appreciate it. Make it simple. Make it part of, doesn't have to be a huge fanfare. It is that moment. We feel included when we feel seen and valued. Don't take for granted the small stuff that everybody's doing all the time. Let people know that, you know, I was really grateful that Sarah helped me with the presentation, or I was struggling to figure out how to do this pivot table in Excel. And I appreciate the fact that Panita just took 5 minutes to explain that to me this week. And I know she's super busy, so I'm really grateful that she took the time to support me with this. It's nice to share appreciation and recognition. The other thing that this act can do is really make sure that credit goes where credit's due, because sometimes individuals can get looked over and other members of the team may take credit or not share the glory. So again, it just creates this kind of checkpoint of sharing the love, right? Sharing recognition. And even if it's failures, this is a huge, huge part of psychological safety, is getting past the fear of failure and recognizing that I did this week and it wasn't great. And I really appreciate that Lewis stepped up and helped me in a situation where I nearly dropped the ball. And I'm grateful that I had him there to help me with that. It's okay to show weaknesses and vulnerability. It's super important in terms of creating an inclusion safety. So we've done morning check-ins. We've done one-to-one conversations. We've done recognition and appreciation, giving that shout out during team meetings or acknowledging an accomplishment or giving credit where credit's due. The fourth thing is to encourage collaboration. So facilitate opportunities for team members to collaborate on projects and really kind of orchestrate where the inclusion can come from. And maybe that's linked to understanding that a person in your team is looking for that growth opportunity, was looking to sort of maybe flex their wings in project management, or wanted to step into a leadership role, or wanted to try something new. And it's all about creating a space where we can do that, where we can step out of our comfort zone in a way that is going to facilitate growth, innovation, confidence. Okay, so that's really important. Finally, point five is lead by example. Kind of touched on these in other things, but be mindful of language, of body language in meetings, of how open or closed you are to different people within your teams, how open and honest and transparent you are about decision making, and show vulnerability, admit to mistakes. As leaders, we need to lead by example. That one of the greatest things that I've seen that I implemented in an organization was Friday failures. And it's not that we're kind of, woohoo, who's made the most mistakes this week? Winner, winner, chicken dinner. It's not about that, but it's about saying, you know, this is something that I didn't do great this week. And it can be personal, it can be professional. I burnt the fish fingers, you know, whatever it is. But it shows that we are human. It shows that level of vulnerability and lead it into a positive. Right? What did you learn from that? Psychological safety is all about understanding how we can learn from mistakes, business opportunities, market opportunities, growth, innovation, all comes from making mistakes and learning from that. And if we feel so rigid and scared to try, if our, and again, this is coming back to the fitting in and belonging, if we're so scared to step out of line, to make the mistake, to put our head above the parapet, we're not going to grow. We're wasting so much energy. So I am not for a moment saying, you know, we want organizations, we want to make more mistakes and have more failures in organization. I'm saying it's part of life. So let's accept it and learn from it and then use it to our advantage. In an inclusively safe environment, We will speak up when we've made a mistake. And the sooner we do that, chances are the smaller the mistake's going to be. If I don't understand how to do something and I'm too scared to ask for help, chances are I'm going to do it wrong. I'm going to try and cover up my mistakes. I'm going to try and hide what I've done wrong. I'm not learning how to do it right. Imagine the consequences that that could be. I pressed the wrong button. I sent the wrong invoice out. And if I'm too scared to kind of admit that or learn from it or ask for help or grow from that, what damage can I cause to the business reputation, to the team, to myself? So creating an inclusive culture and inclusion safety is about creating that foundation from which we can all flourish. We can all thrive. And if we as individuals within the organization thrive, of course the business is going to thrive. So that's all I had for you today. I hope that those five practical takeaways, I'll put them in the show notes, help you kind of what can I do tomorrow? So please take one of those things and dive into it. Give it a go. Try the morning check-ins. Try the color heat map, the traffic light system. Give it a go. Don't just try it once. Give it a go for, these habits take a while to sort of get established. Give it a go for a couple of weeks and just see how things change. See what opens up. See what conversations come from that. Look out for the difference between fitting in and belonging, because creating a belonging culture is how we are going to thrive. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. I really appreciate it. Check out the show notes for more information. And I'm grateful I didn't cough too much through this episode. Hopefully, by next week, I'll be in full flourish. Take care of yourself. Try out these practical tips, and I will speak to you again next week.
Thank you so much for listening. If you found this episode useful, please hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. And please share with someone who you think may benefit from the content discussed today. Remember, there's always useful links included in the show notes that will take you directly to additional relevant value-packed resources. So please take a moment to check them out. That's it for this week. Again, thank you for being intentionally inclusive. Until next week, my friend.